Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're so glad that you took time to tune in with us. In fact, we're so glad that we're tuning in with you. We're having one of those nights where we had a little bit of difficulty, our bad, trying to connect some great people that are located all over the place. So it's great. We're all together. We're going to have a wonderful evening. We're going to look at the topic. Maybe you remember we were talking about this. Christmas. Christmas, what does it mean in America, in the world that we find ourselves living in today? What does it mean today as we think about Christmas and the values? Last week, we had a wonderful time hearing about our families and our co-hosts, their great traditions and things that reminded us that Christmas comes from the heart. So we're going to be rolling right into this tonight. I'm going to cover some ground quickly here. So if you're old like me, we're going to go from 33 and a third to 45 up to 78 on your record player, and I'm going to go a little faster. So just so you remember who your family is here, I want you to know that we have Dr. Paul Hall, whose picture you see, and Paul is with us in the vocal side, but he's not with us live. But Dr. Paul will be with us. He's a retired pastor, theologian, most of all, a great guy who is very pertinent and relevant to the world we live in today when it comes to what the Bible says and where we live. So Dr. Hall's with us. We also have Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. Commander Rob, as you know, he flew an F-14 Phantom. F-14.
And not into the ground.
Yeah, and he got it back. It landed on those carriers.
Just
behind him. So it's great. So we're going to have a race between he and I and a Piper Cub once he teaches me how to fly the Piper Cub. But we're going to be in there. It's going to be a fun time. So they're with us today. And Nancy is a wonderful lady there, too. She shares so much. We appreciate her stories last week. Also, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer understands Craig is with us at home, and Stephanie is in another location. And so it's so great that they're able to be with us tonight. Dr. Thayer's had a lot of surgeries. We hope during the holidays the surgeries are down not as much, and everybody will be well. A lot going on with COVID right now, and we pray for Craig Tank all the time as he goes through these things. And Stephanie's a health and wellness coach, as you know. I hope you follow her. I certainly do. I start my day each day going through the things that she shares from God's Word, and it's a great thing to see what she shares all the time. So she's there with us, and now, I want to share with you, too, we're going to have a great guest with us, Dr. John Maples, who wrote the book Faithful Families Today, which works really well and fits in. And there's the cover of the book. And we're going to give out to let him share with you how you can get a copy of that. And we had a little difficulty. Technology sometimes is fantastic, and then sometimes it sneaks up and says, boo, we're not going to work tonight. So we didn't quite get there tonight. But he is with us, and so we're still going to have him back again. Don't worry. You're going to hear him tonight. He's going to have great things to share. We're all going to share from our heart, and you could just realize that when we get him next time, you get to see him. We'll probably take the first 10 minutes of the program and just let you stare at his face. That'll make up for all the times that we didn't get a chance to do it with us. Don't worry there, John. It's going to be really, really good. So anyone can
see him. Except for his face. Which we don't know. We have no idea what he looks like.
Yeah.
He's a mystery man, and he might be an alien.
Invincible.
Yeah.
That's right, but it's really going to be good, and everybody can tell from your voice how good it's going to be to actually meet you this way. So it's going to be wonderful. And so very quickly, I do want to share again. Actually, I don't want to share. This one thing as a pastor I didn't really enjoy doing very often, but we're going to have some special guests sharing with you, like Carl Rowe, about how the donations work on our page. We're going to
Carl start Rowe
page with you. Yeah, wait till you see this. It's going to be very good. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank some of you. We all do. We are an entirely, totally listener-supported ministry. So thanks. I just want to give a shout out. I don't have permission, so I won't use last names. I want to thank Tony. And I want to thank Linda. And I want to thank Terry. And I want to thank Steve and Ron and some others who have said, you know, Pastor Joe, we just love you guys. We're going to be on the program. We're going to be following through and donating to all that you do on Raising Expectation, because you've already raised ours. So we're excited and we're donating to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Much obliged. Yes. We have one faithful giver, and I'm not going to bring up their names, but they have been faithful from the beginning. We're so thankful and grateful for them.
Much obliged.
So, if you want to, if you can give, but just pray about it. If you feel led by the Lord to give $5, $10, $15, maybe $20 a month, we'll put it to good use and bring some exciting things to you. And remember, if you are, you're part of our family then, and by being part of the Raising Expectation family, we're going to do something special this year. We're going to have, starting here in January, a special letter that goes out to you. It's actually not a letter, it's an article. We're going to have, the first one's going to be Death of Journalism in America Today. And Commander Rob's writing that with the ghostwriter Nancy helping him.
I am?
Yeah, yeah, right.
What a surprise!
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. Don't worry. And he's going to be sharing what's happened in all of those fields today. And also, we're going to have our special guests coming up for you. I'm not going to tell you now because you're going to get all of them sent out to you, and they'll be coming to you in the mail, excuse me, as emails and other ways we'll be getting them to you as you become part of our family, donating and supporting this ministry. It really is a ministry. Faith, family, freedom, finances, and fun. And all of those areas of the American life we're going to be bringing to you. And the people we have sharing, you're going to like. We have some coming back again, and they really wanted to be back with us. Like Doug Weed and others will be back with us. And they'll be sharing with you. I know that their sources of information is just incredible. These are men that have walked with presidents, that have done things that you wouldn't believe, and they know first person what goes on and what has taken place this way. So our first week in December, we kicked back slightly. We had a little bit of fun, and Stephanie shared with us some great ideas of things that we could eat and be healthy. And Fudge didn't make the list, but it was in the addendum. I found it. So thanks, Stephanie, for putting that in the addendum. It was great. And we enjoyed that. And she and her husband, Tank, shared great insight for us on how to stay healthy. But we're going to get good things from them. In fact, that's something else we're talking about all through the year. They'll be sharing good things with you that way. And then last week, we heard about what Christmas means in all of our lives. Boy, we heard stories that were so wonderful about, mine wasn't wonderful, but the rest of the family, they had great stories about their trees and growing up and things like that. Mine was simply watch where you walk. But in any event, it was a great time together. And so I hope you had a good time. I've had people text me and say, Pastor Joe, that was so much fun. Mm-hmm. Because it took our minds, put them back in our hearts, reminded us of what Christmas means in the past, in the present, what it means as we bring it back. So having said all that, by the way, how do you make a donation? Somebody asked me again. You just go to our website, click up bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and you'll see my mug there, and right above it, you'll see a donation button. And if you scroll down, you get to meet all the people in the family, their pictures, their stories. You'll get to really know all about them. So don't forget, it's going to be a good one. You'll enjoy that. Okay, and that was a quick one.
$1 million.
All of them are in there. That's right. It's going to be a home run. Everybody doing well today, team?
Well, yeah.
I got vaccinated today.
You got vaccinated. Oh,
yeah, I'm one of the first. I'm on the A team, I guess. So yeah. I'm one of the first groups to get poked with the needle. So
that's a good thing because we need doing well. Yeah.
Well, and that's my purpose. It's not for me. I would do fine through it, but I don't want to be a mosquito and give it to the meek, you know, to people who are not as healthy. So and I need to operate on people. So
it's key. Make sure they're okay. Boy, that's good news. Glad to hear that.
Right.
A lot of people. So that's a good thing. All right. So what I'd like to do tonight, be a little bit different, is we want to introduce John. Hey, John, tell them just a little word about yourself and your family and introduce them again somewhat. Some of our listeners will be new that weren't here before. And then we're just come jump right in there with you, and we'll be looking a little bit at Christmas. It's going to be fun.
Dr. Maples, are you up right now?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Good.
I thought of an appropriate scripture for not being on camera, because we focus on the unseen, not the seen.
Amen.
And Joe and Paul know that scripture very well. Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here, at least in voice and not in picture. And maybe that's a blessing to everyone who has eyes. There we go. You know, I grew up in South Africa. I often say I'm American. I'm African-American, born in Texas, raised in Africa. My dad was a missionary. We lived there full-time for 12 years, moved back to the United States, and that's really all I knew was Africa. And much of my heart lies in Africa in mission work. I've also done tons of mission work over 40 years in South Africa and Zimbabwe, Zambia, all the way up to actually Nigeria. But mostly in mostly below the Tropic of Capricorn, which is South Africa and Zimbabwe and Zambia and Mozambique and other places. And where do I start? Maybe a Christmas story that has stuck with me for a long time. Alongside the Kafue River in central western Zambia many years ago, no electricity anywhere. And it was late at night, and it was right before Christmas. And I saw in a one-room rondavel thatch hut one little candle. And I knew they were celebrating in their own have-not way Christmas.
I don't think I can.
Can you hear me? Am I okay?
Yes. You're fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I just heard stuff in the back. I didn't know. Well, that's one thing that has always stuck with me. Another one is our younger daughter. Her name is Noelle. And at her wedding, nearly 5 years ago now, we had a wonderful rendition of that song as she walked down the aisle. And her dad had some tears in my eyes. Christmas. I'm concerned that we sort of so commercialize it. Mm-hmm. And so rush it that we nearly ignore it.
Mm.
So that's my bit on Christmas. And, you know, we all have stories. Oh, we should have caught that one last week. I bet that was excellent. But that's a bit about me. All of my family has been to Africa on mission trips. I think our three children, by the time they graduated from college from Separate Mind, had been to a total of about 34, 36 mission trips around the world.
Mm.
I've been a pastoral counselor, Brother Joe, as you and I have discussed, a pastoral counselor on oftentimes deep psychological things, psycho-emotional aspects. on helping individuals in all ages, young and old, and both in the United States and in South Africa and beyond. You know, that's a blessing. I'm thankful for that. I'm richly blessed. I don't know what else to say, but
yes.
There we go. There we go. That's a bit of me, you know.
That's a good background. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, Dr. Maples, if I may, could you maybe describe the Christmases you've had in South Africa versus the Christmases you've had in the USA, and what those differences might be in terms of faith and family and Christianity and beliefs?
Yeah, thank you. They are not in the big cities like you've been to, Rob, long ago, Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, mm-hmm. East London, Port Elizabeth, etc. And it's a lot different than when you're in the bush, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the bush in Africa is anything that's not city or town. It's all called the
right.
bush, whether it's jungle or rolling grasslands.
Mm-hmm.
In the cities, even in the big cities, Cape Town, etc., it's not nearly as commercialized as it is, you know, coast to coast in the United States. Not nearly as commercialized. But in the bush, in you know, in Zululand, where I grew up, and in Zambia, where they speak Tonga and Bemba,
mm-hmm.
It's very minimal. I remember one time I was playing soccer with just in a sandlot soccer game, which they love, and so do I, with some boys, maybe 10, 12 years old, maybe 16, 18 boys, and I mentioned the word Christmas. I said, do you know what I mean? And not one of them knew what I was talking about. Not one. It is very different in the bush. They it's just another day. For the most part, there are exceptions in churches, and et cetera, but for the most part, even in a fairly Christian nation such as Zambia and Zimbabwe,
mm-hmm.
it is very, very minimal because they, for the most of them, they're trying to figure out what we're going to eat tonight or today.
Well, that's a good point, Dr. Maples, I would be interested in having you sort of expand the tribes and living in South Africa and whether or not they came to Christianity or whether they decided to stick with their tribal beliefs.
Yeah, okay. Change came quite slowly when the first settlers landed in the Cape. They did not attach or even learn much Bible, particularly New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a long, long time, at least a century. But
mm-hmm.
Because of language translation difficulties, not because of resistance. Africa is a very passionate people and very spirited and very spiritual, but they didn't have the gospel translated into their own languages, and there's still some who hardly have anything whatsoever, even today, translated into their language. People that I know actually translated, that made the first English translation from English into Bemba in the 1960s. But once they understand, once they hear it taught, once they hear a gospel sermon,
mm-hmm.
they respond so readily because mm-hmm. they know that wealth and mm-hmm. commercialism and bank accounts and things, they don't have that, so they're not entangled. Like the book of Hebrews says, they're not so easily swayed away from those sorts of things. It is direct. You don't have to preach much social gospel about how to get along with one another and all those kind of things. They don't need that right then. They need gospel sermons, hearing about the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. And they respond to that. They absolutely respond. It is rivetingly exciting, and I hope all of you can go. It is to get in a room full of Zulu people or Bemba or Tonga or go to Lesotho or go to Swaziland. And it will bring tears to your eyes and joy to your heart because of the way they sing, the way they put themselves into fresh worship. They will walk 3 miles in the bush, I mean 3 hours maybe in the bush, to sit on the ground, and they don't want you to preach short sermons. My dad always preached short sermons. I've got a cute story about that, but from long ago. But they'll sit 3 hours just to listen all day, and then they'll walk 3 hours back home.
Yes, no time. Yeah.
So their attentiveness and their hungering and thirsting for righteousness is still absolutely splendid. Although it is changing because of technology. You know, they can get sermons broadcast anywhere in the world now. Anywhere in the free world, and most of Africa is free, south of the equator, and they respond. And that's the main thing. They respond. They have beautiful hearts and open, and they are hungering and thirsting for righteousness.
And that's great. And I just worry about the townships. Are the townships the same in terms of wanting to get the gospel and receive it and believe?
Absolutely. It is a town. There are many wonderful churches. And by the way, those who may not know, townships are designated areas where Africans, native Africans, wonderful people, were relegated away from the white people during apartheid years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a township is. And there are still townships that are just 99% black, probably 100% black.
Mm-hmm.
And Soweto being the biggest one outside of Johannesburg. There's a lot of crime. Crime in South Africa used to be black against white until 1994 when apartheid was officially done away with. But they don't have to, you know, fight against control by the minority whites after that. But it's all street crime now, and most of it's black against black. Just street crime, poverty, and you know, and fraud, etc. Yeah, but townships.
John, having seen that and knowing what's happened there in Africa. You know, as we look at our nation today, and we look at America, and we think about what's going on, we think about Christmas, if we put it in a secular vein, you can go on YouTube and go back and watch shows from the 60s, like Glenn Campbell Christmas or Dean Martin at Christmas, and you can see an entirely different genre of music and attitude and people caring about one another. How do you see Christmas, or as you stated, the lack of Christianity so much being seen? I mean, I'm thankful we can say Merry Christmas again in America. And we can stand on a corner and say Merry Christmas. You don't have to say Happy Holidays, you know, that there is a reason. There's a reason for the Christmas season. It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you see that affecting, since you've been there and being a Texan or Arizonan now, affecting the nation today as people are listening, thinking about that and what we're facing?
Yeah, thank you. Secularism is a worldwide thing, and the trajectory downward so of that, I think, is worldwide. I see that in Africa as well as the United States. And what we have seen, politically and on the legal side of the rapid downturn within the United States, is what has been actually happening for such a long time across the bottom half, which is the bottom half is 2,500 miles north to south of the continent of Africa. Secularizing so much of it. The rest of the world, in my opinion, and I don't know that much, a bit about Europe and some South America, but I think the rest of the world, particularly Africa, still looks at the United States. They don't call the United States. All they call it is America. But they still look to us as the leading, on the leading edge of anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And with rapid communication of all sorts nowadays, that that happens within a push of a button. And sadly, so we're not leading in a gigantic, in my opinion, actually, we're not leading in spiritual ways.
Yes.
We are, we're going the opposite way to the detriment of our society. Witness increase in crimes and all sorts of things, you know, crime, you know, suicides, all those statistics, not only in our military, but across the board, all of those categories are high. And when you take God out of anything, you're not left with much of anything. And that's exactly what we've been doing. And I think our rights have become wrongs.
It's been said, John, Rob had some good insight on this too. It's been said that basically Victor David Hansen brought it up. I don't want to go back to the political side, but as a preface to this, really, we're in a battle in the nation right now between those who are basically totally secular and those who believe in the Judeo-Christian ethics and the foundation of this nation, to whom people that would appear, like you're speaking of in Africa, look up to. And, of course, we know why, because the Bible's clear. When the Spirit of the Lord is speaking through people, people will hear it no matter what. It's not what we say. It's who's doing the speaking. And so as we look at that battle today and what's happening, I'm kind of wondering, some of the people that asked me questions this week about that, and we have major scenes, we have this, that, and the other. They're starting to appear again. People are trying to take a stand for their faith in Christ. And as you think about that, Dr. Hall, you might have a thought too for John, but John's seen both sides of it. Like Rob was saying, Rob's been down there too. We've been on mission trips. I've never been the privilege to be there in Africa like you and Rob, but I've seen it in other places. They look to our basic faith of America, and that's what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. Paul, do you have a thought on that for John?
Yeah, well, not a thought for John.
Well, your thought then. I mean,
you know, I try things like we're facing now didn't come in on a bolt of lightning. It walked in on cat's feet, and we became complacent. Happy with feel good kind of things. We kind of bought into a lot of different things. I do think it's absolutely accurate to say it's becoming increasingly difficult to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian in so many different ways. You know, it's just become the norm. And so, you know, as we address that, I was pondering a question. Thinking about a question and pondering a question are two different things. I was pondering a question today: is that, you know, how do you change a culture? We seem to be playing defense so much, you know, and how do we get on the offense and become active and alive with our faith and our hope to capture the childlikeness. I know in our family, probably not any different than yours, children gauge the success of Christmas on how many presents they got, and did somebody get more than I did, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I want to, John, if it's okay, I'd like to harken back to something that you said when you first began, because I don't want it to get lost in the conversation. You said that when you saw that one little hut and there was a single candle burning, the statement that you used was that they were celebrating in their have-not way. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, what I meant by that is they didn't have much.
Right.
At all.
And how do you think a have-not way would impact 21st century America? You know, we're not much about have not, we're about have more. How do we address those kinds of things, John? You have an appreciation for it because you've seen it, you've experienced it, and probably many of us here and many people listening have experienced it as well. But I just wonder how do we see things like that and not be impacted by it, which moves us to some level of action? That's my question. Do you have any insight on that? You know, having seen it so apparently, you know, so clearly.
I had perhaps a blurry thought. If we could get a video of what I saw that night and scenes like that and put it up there. I love that thing maybe we've seen on the television or a bumper sticker. And like, try a little kindness. If we could get the medium of television splashed all over, is so powerful. If we could get those sorts of scenes on a popular medium, I think that is a beginning, perhaps generic way. That might help. I really believe one of you said, and thank you for that. God bless you for that. It seems like we're descending in so many categories of character, social manners, and I think the difference between, and it hasn't been coming, it didn't just show up on a bolt of lightning. No, it's been coming for a long time, but all of a sudden, I think the bolt of lightning has struck rather recently to where even legality, we are secularizing. Not only in presence and pocketbooks, but in legal aspects. The squeaky wheel always gets the grease, you know. And there's a lot of the minority still, I think, but they're making very squeaky wheels, even in the halls of our Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a pervasive situation. And I think we're going to have to, at large, just my think-sos here, actually, we need many think tanks, godly people with sharp mental capacities to form think tanks and approach this on every single level so that we're not always on the defensive, which the silent majority has been nice for such a long time, equating being nice with being silent. And that
Dr. John, I couldn't agree with you more. But I also want to interject a little bit here. I've broken open the Plato's Republic, and one of the great books of all time, and I encourage everybody in the world to read it, because Plato, who actually is quoting Socrates throughout the book, is talking about justice, injustice, truth, facts, and I don't even know that it's being taught anymore, but it should be, because maybe if Plato's Republic was taught, we wouldn't have so many stupid people out there who are just, well, they're just idiots, including politicians. But there's no wisdom anywhere, and that worries me a lot. And it goes beyond God, Jesus Christ, and the Old and New Testaments. It has to do with the human condition. It has to do with truth, righteousness, and I don't think this is being taught anymore. And, you know, maybe I'm throwing some stuff out here, but I'd love to hear your comments on that.
Stephanie and Craig, do you have any comments?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, Dr. Maples, you kind of hit it on the head earlier when you talked about the candle. And it's, I mean, if you can go, you mentioned you know, you've done a number and you wish that everyone could do that. I guarantee you, if you've ever gone on a mission trip and you've seen where and how these people live, and when you come back and you want to terrorize your kids if they're arguing about their video games. So, but that not everybody can do that, wants to do that, or has the money to do it. So I think the media is the way to go. But I think you hit it on the head. When you can actually see it at a personal level right there in front of you, that, you know, I mean, these kids in those countries are completely happy. So they don't know they're necessarily in poverty. They just think that's what the norm is. So they're okay with that. It's us that look at them like they're, man, that's horrible. They're in a grass hut or a mud roof thing, or but they're living, you know, and they're alive, and they respect that.
I heard a story not too long ago, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, about some American some American traveler or minister or something was in Uganda and asked a Ugandan, and I've been there, but asked a Ugandan pastor, tell me about Christmas in your country. And he said, at Christmas in Uganda, children know that that is the one day of the year that they might get a set of new clothes, which would consist essentially of shorts and some shirt and probably no shoes. That humbles me. That would be a good video. Can I go back just about back up to generalizations for just a second? You know, every empire except the United States so far has come and gone, except the Lord's kingdom, and the gates will never prevail against that. That's right. Matthew 16. But, you know, I remember oftentimes if I was lost in the bush and I needed to get my bearings, I'd either climb a tree or, better, the tallest hill around. But when you get to the top, if you keep going, you're only going to go down. And the United States has been on the top of the mountain for a long, long time, and my impression is that we are still barely balancing on foundations that have been previously laid by former generations. And we better be careful. But the bigger context than that is, it's not basically, on the most basic aspect, it's not basically our problem. It is God's.
Right, he's got it.
And he can take care of it. But so much of the time he works when we work. Which brings me back to evangelism and one-on-one telling the gospel story.
Yes.
One of my friends went to, and I forget where it was in Africa, but he went with a group and his brother-in-law, and they were showing, they brought a screen and a projector and a generator, and they're showing the story of Jesus on the screen. And they're sitting in the back of the truck, and there was maybe 3 or 4 people with them on the side of the projector and screen, and they were getting depressed that there were only 3 or 4 people. And then a lightning strike hit, and it lit up the whole landscape, and there were 300 to 400 people on the opposite side of the screen.
Wow, that's
an amazing visual. You think how many are there, and suddenly you're complete, and God lit it up for you. Hey, by the way, there's like 300 or 400 on our side. It's kind of an incredible image.
There are still
people I know in Africa. There's still people who've never seen a TV screen at all.
Stephanie, do you have any questions or? comments?
Stephanie's muted, I think.
Are you frozen?
I was.
There she is.
I'm sorry. I've had a really hard time hearing.
Okay.
I'd have been trying to listen so intently.
Okay.
Are you at home or are you someplace else?
Yeah, someplace else. Yeah.
She's in Truckee skiing with the boys.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any questions,
Jeff?
We'll talk louder. How's that?
Yeah. And slower. Because, you know, when we talk louder and slower.
I was just going to say, I love that Christmas is supposed to be about Jesus and really, you know, opening up Luke 2 and sharing that story, not stuff. And I hope this year.
Mm-hmm.
Really brings that. I hope you heard that.
Got most of it. I want to, Stephanie, try a little one more time. And I'm watching the time here. I want to share one thing and John, kick it to you.
Say one thing. Did you all see the Christmas star tonight?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Did you?
Yes. Southwest, and Mars is on the southeast. So yeah. Mars is orange. The other one, and you could see it. It was those two stars were those two lights were up, even when it was light outside.
Yes, and I said some prayers and stuff like that, and like. Personal stuff. So, you know, I was very happy. I posted something on my Facebook page too. So a couple of pictures. Yeah. I'm not very good, but even though at least we're not cloudy here in Arizona. So,
Well, it's a good thing. My daughter, Amy Jo called about four times from Ohio to say, Dad, make sure you see that. So I'm watching for that. John, you know, I'm looking at this time real close and there's something that I'd like to share. I bet you all know this, and I want to share it because it impacted my life, and maybe it can impact all of us in the nation for what everybody has said. And it's simply called One Solitary Life, and this reminded me of John working out there. And this is what it said. You ready? It says, here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village, and he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. But while still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him and his friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and he went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners, well, they gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. And when he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone. And today, he's the centerpiece of the human race. He is the leader of the column of progress. And I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever been built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, all put together, well, they've not affected the life of man on earth as powerfully as has this one solitary life. Christmas, as we all know, is about Jesus. That's why my heart bears witness with these co-hosts. I mean, I love these people. John, I haven't even met you yet. We haven't seen you, but we are.
Yeah, he's mysterious.
We love you, John. Yeah. And I have... 60 seconds here. If you can close us out, John, and any thought you have on that, brother.
Can I say something very quickly? Because I'm cooking for family that's supposed to be here any minute. Merry Christmas, everybody. We love you.
Merry Christmas. Have a safe Christmas.
And love you.
Right. Lots of love.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Mm. Bye.
And the same for Tank. Merry Christmas to you as you are a surgeon. Merry Christmas, Paul. We know you're there. Merry Christmas
for you,
Kelly. Yeah. And Merry Christmas to Stephanie, who's with the boys right now. John, we got about a minute, and that's all I got. I got to make sure we're on time tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, my new book called Faithful Families Today, if I can just mention that very quickly, Faithful Families Today, and the website that goes along with it, faithfulfamiliestoday.com. People can buy the book there. On the website, it will have podcasts, weekly podcasts in all kinds of ways to help families instill spirituality. And I think, you know, all of us can do something. I can talk to one person, and that's all I can do, one by one by one.
Mm-hmm. I got Josh.
And even when you're preaching to an audience, it's still one pulpit to each one in each seat.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would not be silent and transcend our fears and pray sincerely, like the song we used to sing so often, lead me to one soul today and teach me, Lord, just what to say. And do it,
George.
That can start. It only takes that one candle. It only takes a spark, and that's what I can do, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And maybe that if we get enough people doing that, we can change. We can change a family. We can change a nation. We can change the world if we will just do that.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Remember, okay, go ahead, anything? Okay, I'm going to wrap. But remember this, guys, there's divine appointments, like John is saying. Somebody can come across your path that God puts there. So like John said, light the candle in front. Jesus loves them. Jesus came for them. He's coming again for them. Maybe we're part of the plan to have them ready when he comes. All right. Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. And we'll be back a week from this coming Monday. We won't be here next Monday. We'll see you a week from Monday. And God bless you. We now are right on time. And amen. Okay.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll
God
see you later. Raising expectations. See you in January.
We still need to talk about John's book.
That's it. That's it. We'll do it when we get him there. All right. Thanks so much. God bless you. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Great Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.